Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Hope your Wednesday's going all right. It's the 12 o'clock hour, which means at some point in the next hour, we'll be giving away a $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shops. And the thing about that is if you win that $50 gift card, you're also entered for a chance to win a grill. What type of grill is it, John Lopez?
Oh, I think it's a Traeger, a pellet grill, be able to smoke whatever meat you want, grill, all that stuff.
Is that a good grill?
Oh, man, I've got one.
Okay.
Yeah. What does that mean?
I like to barbecue.
And?
I don't want to barbecue on crap.
Okay, good. No, I was like, look, man, you can't just assume that people know that. You gotta say it explicitly.
I spend far too much money on barbecue grills and fishing equipment, like far too much.
Man, if you got extra barbecue grill, let me have it, man. I think I'm outgrowing my barbecue grill.
Oh, yeah?
We'll
be in touch.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Uh-oh. We'll be in touch.
And then when you fire that thing up for the first time, just don't forget to remember your old pal, Reggie. You
know what I mean? I'll just take the food.
Yeah, right. I
don't need a grill.
Exactly.
I just want the food.
See, what people don't think about is the better thing than having a grill is having a friend who has a really
like
good
boat.
Grill. Right? It's a boat.
Yeah.
Better than having a boat is having a friend with
A friend with a pickup truck.
Yes. Pickup truck. Yeah. I think pool at certain ages of life. Mm-hmm. I think most ages of life, having just a friend with the pool. Yeah. Then you don't have to deal with like chlorine and maintenance and all that.
Yeah.
You just pop over like, oh, we y'all have
yeah,
a pool.
Or the pool is closed at the recreation center and all that stuff. Yeah. You ain't got to do all that.
Yeah.
How did we get here? Oh, yeah. Texas Star Grill Shop giveaway be happening in this hour. All right, guys. I hope y'all are with me.
Why are you rubbing your face? Because
I don't know what to... Not disgust. It's really just like I am perplexed as to what you're going for here, John Lopez, because the question that I have before me is this D'Amico Dunkirk? And I am familiar with Dunkirk and the battle that happened there in, what was it, World War II?
Two, yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Can you explain to the rest of the class who probably wasn't in that history class paying attention?
So the Germans invaded France. I'm sure most people know that. In World War II.
Don't assume. Don't assume, man. Like them teachers have a lot on their plates. It's hard to get everything around to the babies.
And the French army and really resistance were kind of bottled up into this one area. They were pushed and pushed and pushed to retreat. Go figure, the French retreating. Anyway.
What is this? Wait a minute.
To retreat to Dunkirk, this one beach area. And there were thousands of them just hemmed up, about to be slaughtered.
I know somewhere Seth is just, he is beaming ear to ear. He don't even know why.
They're about to be slaughtered.
This is the type of radio I like.
And then, so the French, in a very bold and incredible moment, they were desperate. They were hurting. Started trying to go get them with every vessel they could find, including people, just fishermen like me, got their fishing boat. Started going to Dunkirk.
Another reason why it's great to have a friend that owns the boat, brother. I got to go to war now?
Put six or eight people on the boat. Big boats, little boats. And it was the biggest. I mean, you guys may have seen the movie.
Oh, yeah.
About it. But it was an incredible, incredible thing when your back was up against the wall, like in so many ways. Life or death ways. So that's my little history lesson.
Got you. Okay.
The second thing is I was really, really proud of myself for being able to use Dunkirk in a sports topic. Is this D'Amico's Dunkirk?
Like, is this full backs against the wall, got to find it, willing to go to every vessel that is available to us to continue the metaphor, maybe even torture the metaphor, yes. Right? Like, go to any and everything to get the job done at this moment because your back is against the wall.
Correct. They're desperate and hurting, not as severely or as seriously as the French were at that point, but they're desperate and hurting. So I heard D'Amico talking on the coach's show. And he kind of said exactly what we wanted to hear. Figgy, you have 10? Because this is a couple things jumped out at me. I want to hear what you think about them.
For me, as I'm watching, you know, film throughout the week, just watching all three phases, and I'm just watching our opponent and seeing really what they've struggled with as I look at it from, you know, all perspective, looking at it from offensive perspective, like what is this defense like struggling with, and can we put them in those situations again? Because I always believe you got to show a team like, have they fixed their issues, right? And that's when I step in and I'm just asking guys throughout the game plan process, like, hey, have we looked at this particular route? Have we looked at this particular run? I see these things have given this defense trouble, and these are some things that I think we should implement. The guys are probably already ahead of that on me. It's like, yeah, we have this in and that in. So that's why I just come from the perspective of all phases. Like, I see this team struggling in whatever area, let's continue to attack them in the area.
All right, I want to hear the other cut before I ask you the question. And for clarity's sake, they were in France. It was the British.
Yes.
A couple of textures brought that.
I was going to let you cook.
Yeah, it was the British that they rescued. But it was his Dunkirk. It was in France, and they were trying to get back.
That's what I thought. But
of course,
I was
you did.
Sure, yeah.
I know. You were a World War II aficionado over there. Man. I know that. Yeah.
But now let's hear the second part, because right there, what's your first instinct when you heard D'Amico?
In one way, it's like, all right, this is what we were talking about: being walk around, being involved in all the things, and checking under every nook and cranny, like doing a full accounting of why is none of this working. Let me get down to the nuts and bolts of it. I will say also a little bit of the anxiety and nerves that I tend to have crept in, where I was like, oh, so you did all that and still look like that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess just the all hands on deck mentality was somewhat, I don't want to say comforting, but I guess good to hear.
Now tell me what you feel when you hear this.
We want to get the ball to our best players, right? We got to find a way right now. We got to find a way to get Nico the ball even more. I feel like we could have got it to him on the outside more, just giving him more shots downfield, finding a way CK was open. You know, a lot. We just got to be able to make the throw. So it's all everybody working together there. I think we had a good rotation of guys. And then you want to see the young guys get the ball as well, because they've done a good job. You know, Jay Noel and Jay Higgins have both done a good job as well. So we have skilled players who can make plays. Right. It's just a matter of everybody being on the same page, being in sync, and making the plays that we can make, especially in those third down, those red zone, those situational moments where I feel like we have to excel and we have to be better.
Your thoughts?
I just went immediately to the answer that D'Amico Ryans gave on Monday when
Thank you.
And it was a good question by Landry that was asked, right? You have guys that are honestly somewhat similar picks in Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel.
Yeah, almost pick for pick.
And then you compare that to Kamari Lassiter and Kalen Bullock, right? Mm-hmm. You have those guys that are relatively similar picks, and it feels different in the ways that they've been plunged into the responsibilities and roles.
Mm-hmm.
Kamari Lassiter, Kalen Bullock, clearly on defense, they were given a lot of responsibility early and expected to handle it. They did, with all credit to them, but they were expected to. Offensive guys, more Noel than Higgins. Higgins has been given a little bit, but they've been walked into some of this responsibility and then sometimes had it pulled back when other people have made available again. And D'Amico Ryans' response was something to the line of, those are four completely different guys. It's not apples to apples comparing those guys. Noel and Higgins have done a great job with what they've been asked, but, you know, clearly this felt a little different. Like, you got to get them involved. Like, it felt had it had a little bit more urgency, which I imagine is what we're pointing to. Everything in those two clips seemed to point to a different level of urgency when it comes down to all of this.
Well, it also was something of a contradiction.
Oh,
and,
sure.
And that's why I asked that question, because, like, are they? Have we reached the point where he's finally going to go into the other room and say, get the damn ball to Nico. Play Jalen Noel and Jaden Higgins. I mean, get no matter what you did or saw in matchups or whatever. Because Monday he kind of said, didn't say that. But on the coach's show, he did. And so I'm like, I don't know what to believe here. Are they going to do it?
Yeah, that's something that needs to be seen. And I think that it's fair for anybody whose natural reaction to say no to point to the idea that they've had many opportunities
to get to this place.
Right? They've had many opportunities to get to this place and make some of these options or changes that, admittedly, those of us on the outside do not have the responsibility that would make you a little bit slower to change. But we've been looking at things and being like, yeah, I feel like those need change for a little bit while. So it's nice of them to join us at the party. But yeah, to what degree also is a question that I have, because again, he speaks to going in and asking, hey, have we considered this? This team seems to give that particular defense issues. And he's like, all right, well, yeah, they considered that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if that's something that had been happening, and again, I hope that I heard that correctly, if that's something that had been happening,
yeah.
Well, clearly that's not sufficient either.
Right.
So
right.
Does that need to get to a different level? Do we need to continue to push that pendulum forward on changes? And are they willing to go to those levels? But I guess it's good to hear that, you know, the head coach has had the mentality of clearly this isn't enough and there needs to be things that shifts. It's like, at what point is it drastic enough to see the results, or are we talking about something else entirely where those changes that happen in the midst of the season are not sufficient?
And I also wonder this, does he have it in him to make that drastic a change? Again, we're in week 10, and it's not as if going into week 9 – they didn't know that, especially Jalen Knoll, was being productive. They didn't know that they needed to get the ball to Nico. They, you know, they knew that going into week 5, 6, 7, and 8, you know, bye week included in there, and they didn't do it. That's why I'm saying, is he going to change his stripes?
Well, I think we're
and say do it.
I think, to be fair, we're getting to that point where you have no choice. Like, again, yeah. Even the most optimistic person looking at the circumstance that they're in right now, seeing 3-5, seeing the fewer numbers of games that you have mm-hmm. in front of you, and now with your quarterback in concussion protocol seemingly going to miss this week and could possibly miss another, and only God knows how many others outside of that, right? Because I don't want to purport to know that definitively it would be a 2-week process, even if it was, right, along the longer side.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that inherently will create more urgency and necessity. The only thing that I lament is why you weren't able to get to that urgency quicker, especially yes. when you had seen that this, and I guess you don't want to be too reactionary in anything. Like, it's not good mm-hmm. to just, you know, run from pillar to post. I don't want a leader to be that. But I think that they did not dial in, and this is actually specifically for D'Amico Ryans. Mm-hmm. I will go ahead and aim this directly at him. I feel like they were a little slow.
Yeah.
They were a little slow to get to that place. And I understand that there's factors where you're talking about, you know, people that are new. But I think that the
expectations. But it's also how he's wired.
The expectation. Yes, it is. That's fair. But the expectations that you had dictated and demanded that you be a little bit more urgent.
And they can, lack of a better way to put it, can he kind of rewire himself to say, screw how I feel about how I want the offense run, you know, run the ball, the trust the veterans. Hell, he's still putting Dari Ogunbowale out there.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, there's the easy things. That's the thing is, there were things that were easy to make the change mm-hmm. on, which is lean heavily into the dudes that have been productive.
Yeah.
Lean heavily into Woody Marks. And I understand.
That's another good example.
Maybe there's consternation about whether he handles the fullness of the responsibility on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I think that even still, they were real tepid on testing if that ice was, you know, able to hold their weight in the metaphor, the image of stepping onto, you know, a frozen lake.
Yeah.
I think they needed to, all right, give one little tap and see and then get out there because of the circumstances of how you started. I think Jalen Knoll is the one that's the most egregious, clearly. But yeah, I think that there's those easy ones. There's maybe, depending on how you feel, I look at the offensive line. Hey, there's decisions you mm-hmm. made. Like, go and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like they've been just a little bit tepid. I think that you might be right in some degree that they are reaching that moment where they are too far under siege to not pull out the stops.
Yeah,
I think this weekend will be telling on whether or not they are fully willing to go full send on that.
Yeah, we'll find out. But again, Monday he said it's not apples to apples, and then. Yesterday, was it yesterday or day before with the coach's show, said, look, you know, we got to get these guys the ball. It's going
to
be interesting.
It will be. Going back to what he was talking about in Cut 10, where he was actually talking about like some of the actual game planning things mm-hmm. about how this offense attacks certain defensive things and him bringing his defensive expertise. Do you feel like, because I'm of two minds, do you feel like he's right in what I feel like is happening, where he's still allowing some deference to the coaching, to the offensive coaching staff, or do you feel like at some point he needs to come in and do the D'Amico Ryans takeover, right? Because I feel like that is where you get full Dunkirk, where he's like, mm-hmm. hey, no, what you're talking about, no, we need
We're doing this. We're desperate.
Is that something that he needs to get to, and is that even a good thing? Because I think that there is an argument to be made if your head coach has to come in and just absolutely super micromanage what's happening on the offense that you're already dead man walking.
No, I think maybe since Monday he's realized that, you know, because Monday was the postmortem, so to speak, of the game.
Sure.
then you have, you know, all the film study and start game planning. And Tuesday, you know, you do a lot of that. Maybe he realized, like, although Monday he did say, we got to change things.
Maybe he read the room.
Maybe he read the room and realized.
Mm.
But say that like I said a bar.
Profound.
You said that like I was preaching or something.
Not the Jamaica Air Force.
Bingo.
He read the room.
Bingo.
I hate that I said that now. I actually despise that I said that now. But yeah, that's another way in which this is a measuring stick game in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're not measuring on the field. We're measuring coaching.
Real quick, do you want that? I mean, I think the obvious answer is yes, right?
Well,
I want D'Amico to go in there and say, get the ball to Nico, more Woody Marks, Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel, especially Jalen Noel. We got to get them touches because I do.
I want that in so much as I don't necessarily know that it definitely works, but I know that it represents a change from what I feel like I know doesn't work right now, which is what's happening in the status quo of that offense. Now, yeah, I was about to say, if they change some things around when it comes to the deciding factors, maybe. But even still with that, I look up and I go, you got enough voices in the room, and those are all big boys that if they had some answers that I feel like they should have been put him on the table. So, mm-hmm. Just different might be what I'm asking for in this moment.
But did they read the room?
Hit that horn, Figgy.
All right. Okay. That was all very, very cheesy. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, where you know what? Possibility it gets cheesier, because coming up next, we do our lunchtime confessions, and we will do those next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let me ask you guys a question before I get to my confession. Do you miss Bill O'Brien?
No.
I ain't gonna lie to you.
What?
I kind of miss some of his press conferences.
Bingo.
I don't miss the Bill O'Brien, the play calling. Never did like the play calling and all that stuff, but I do miss the spicy press conferences.
I never thought I would say I would miss anything about Bill O'Brien, and then this happened, I believe, yesterday.
Coach, I'm wondering, do you have a message for the fans? Obviously losing to Notre Dame Catholic school rival, 1-8 now in the season BC. I've heard from a lot of fans. They're just really down.
I'm really glad. I'm glad you're down. I'm not down. Nobody's down. We're fighting. We're competing. You know, it's the second year of this program, Mike. You always come in here with these down questions. Like, you show up like once a month or something like that. You come in here with these down questions. I'm not down. I don't know what year you graduated from BC, but this is a program that we're building. Okay. Nobody here's down. We're positive. We're going to show up and play our asses off against SMU. You can go out there in your dark, clouded world or whatever it is and do what you want to do. We're not down. The sun is up, and we're fighting. That's my message to the fans. What's up, Trevor?
What's up, Trevor? That's it, Figgy. I do miss
this. I miss that, man.
I miss the spiciness.
We get it once in a while.
And it always comes out of nowhere. Like, it just comes out of, like, he's... And by the way, they're 1-8.
We're not down.
We're not down. And you're, what do you say, your dark, clouded world or something like that?
Yeah.
I do miss the occasional unpredictable just going off.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. You know what? I still don't miss it. You know why? Because these are the types of things I enjoy when it's somebody else's team.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Like, this is so much more fun when you don't actually have to deal with any of the consequences. You just get to point and laugh. Shout out to Boston College, though, because last year, I was like, oh, man, it feels like this is a good hire.
Mm-hmm.
They are 1-8, baby.
1-8.
Like, yeah. I am amazed that he came in and year zero in some ways, mm-hmm. in the way that some of these things are viewed. Year one, great record. Year two, already plummeted. Like, that's not the easiest thing to do, to have that turnaround so quickly. So, best of luck there.
Maybe go back to Penn State.
Oh, it's been floated. I don't know how seriously, but it's been floated.
Yeah, and I just can't imagine after the season that they're having this year. And with these displays, we remember, oh, yeah, he could be ornery.
Yes, he can.
He could be ornery.
To say the least.
Do we really want that? He's a little ornery.
To say the least.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I gotta admit, I may be a little biased in saying this, but I don't think Joe Davis is wrong.
Really?
I don't think Joe Davis is wrong.
Oh, this is controversial.
My man Joe Davis. A running kind of thought process all through today's show here in the loop is the concept of reading the room. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, hey, understand what this looks like or what this sounds like and maybe choose different. Well, as Lopez is very well aware, his Dodgers won the World Series. And at their parade, it was at the parade, was it not?
Yes.
At the parade, when Joe Davis was hosting it. Now, Joe Davis, if you don't know, he is a play-by-play man, national play-by-play man on Fox.
Called the World Series.
He called the World Series that they won. And the reason why, I mean, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that are looking at this like, yo, this is real partial of you to be over there calling this. The reason why I say this is I feel like we can't forget that his last job, literal last job before he ended up doing this on Fox consistently. And I mean, he did some college football as well, was he was the TV guy for the Dodgers. Like he took over for Vin. And so like this ain't just like, you know, this ain't just Joe Buck deciding to pop in and do the parade for the Chiefs. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like this is a particular tie that he has to that organization. And so I don't think he's wrong. And also I worked with him one time and he was really nice to me.
That's what it is. My guy Joe.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter, Brian. Doesn't matter what your last job was, because this is the Fox national broadcast. As Mad Dog Russo said, he went scorched earth on Joe Davis on his show today. Doesn't matter. The body's not even cold yet. The body's not even cold yet. And you're hosting, not just speaking, hosting the Dodgers World Series parade.
Let's go, Dodgers!
I'm sure he has some great relationships and friends with the Dodgers. Doesn't matter, Brian.
It was kind of, I seen people giving Jessica Mendoza a hard time too because
she gets a hard time, she does.
But she was on the radio call with ESPN for the World Series and you could kind of see her and like she wasn't saying anything over the airways, but you could tell she was super happy and they were kind of giving her a hard time. I think she's from Cali too, so she probably grew up a Dodgers fan. She played softball. So I was just kind of like, man, I'm not really that mad over it.
Have we gotten to a place in sports where people are very comfortable with the idea of the people in what we had previously looked at as neutral spots having their sports fandom? Because there was a point in time where no matter what kind of coverage you did of sports, you had to be entirely biased and pretend like you never had any fandom. And now people have gotten a lot more comfortable with allowing media members to express the idea of fandom that they've had.
I think it's just this day and age too, man, because even you got people, I know this ain't the same thing, but if you look on ESPN, you got Stephen A just proud, whatever fan he was. I forgot what he fan of. I think he loved the Giants. He loved the Knicks.
Yeah.
and everybody just be so open with it at this point. I don't even think it. I don't think people look at it as a big deal now.
No, we are in that era, and that doesn't mean you have to necessarily like it from the national broadcast.
Sure,
I get it. Yeah. Radio shows like this, you know, it's all about opinion and stuff like that. And even some of the TV, you know, the McAfees and the Stephen A's, I get all that. But when you are broadcasting, the broadcaster for, you know, the national
call,
that's the only place I would go. Come on, man.
So, and this is a little different because he's still active. If Mike Breen, if for some godforsaken reason the Knicks actually win a championship, right? Mm-hmm. And Mike Breen is there handling the call, that'd be an issue for you? Because Mike Breen is the play-by-play man for ESPN, but he also calls games.
But by the way, Mike Breen on those calls
is very professional.
Very unbiased.
I think, on the national
calls.
I think Joe Davis is pretty professional.
Oh, yeah.
If anybody gets hell, it's John Smoltz. People be on John Smoltz net
oh, yeah.
on them 100%, broadcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it depends on would Mike Breen host a parade? Because I don't think he would do that.
Well, how would we ever know? When have the Knicks done anything like that? Yeah. I feel like I'm being unnecessarily mean to the Knicks. But you know what?
They was kind of close last year.
You know what? They are no longer lovable losers. They've been good enough recently that we can get after them now.
Yeah. I got to confess, man. I love a good headline on ESPN. I keep talking about ESPN, but is on here in the studio. And the first headline I seen, I think it was First Take, is Draymond Green, Dak Prescott is a bum. I'm like, okay, that's a cool opinion. And you know how ESPN always put the source at the bottom of the screen of mm-hmm. where whoever said what. So apparently this came from Draymond Green podcast called Why is Draymond Green Talking Football Podcast?
Yes, he hosts it with Jordan Schultz.
I thought that was freaking hilarious, man. I'm like, first of all, because I thought that was kind of a wild take to say Dak Prescott is a bum.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, look, I ain't going to sit here and say he's the number one quarterback in the league, but I don't think he's a bum.
And you know what his point was? I don't know if we got the audio because I did see this as well. The point that he was trying to make is, he putting up all them points and they still losing. I'm like, that's not how this works, dog.
That doesn't make you a bum.
Yeah. how did that? So Steph Curry putting up all these points.
Yeah.
And if they lose, he a bum?
Joe Burrow, such a bum, dog.
What does Draymond Green say about that? I don't know.
And by the way, you will not be surprised to know that in his defense of his stance, he said, I won four championships.
Oh, God. Yeah. Good, God. Yeah, and he's better than Charles Barkley.
That's right.
Yeah, big eye roll.
Yeah, but I thought that the name of that podcast was hilarious mm-hmm. because I'm like, why is he talking football? I have no clue.
Who knows? I have a. You know how in hockey they have nicknames for line changes for lines?
Yes.
You know, I have a new favorite nickname, and it's not hockey. It's the Los Angeles Lakers, the Tres Leches lineup. Have you seen this?
Uh-uh.
The Tres Leches lineup
is, three milks.
Is getting a lot of traction, especially after their last game. By the way, they're on tonight as the featured game, Lakers Spurs. But
is that the NBC game?
ESPN.
Wednesday. Right.
Luka.
I'm still getting used to the new schedule.
Tell me if you think of any similarities between these three guys. Luka went for 29-11-10. Austin Reeves went for 26-4-11. And Jake LaRavia went for 25-8-3. That's the Tres Leches lineup. What do you think is the similarity there?
They're all white guys. Like, we don't have to dance around it. They're all white guys.
I just love that so much. Probably more than I should.
Yeah, is the Lakers still trying to trade Austin Reeves, or was that a rumor?
I doubt that.
Because I kind of want to revisit
that.
You
were asking
man.
Us about that.
Yeah. At first, I was kind of like, nah, but I don't know, man.
26-4-11? All right.
LeBron has not checked in yet.
Yes, this is true. This is true.
Lakers doing some good stuff. Somebody called him the Showtime Lakers. They're playing like they're trying to be.
The Snowtime Lakers.
Snowtime Lakers. I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us. Coming up next, let's do a little Judge John Lopez, including, and it will be featuring our very own Patrick Creighton, who had a very interesting theory on the offensive coordinator situation here in Houston. We'll do that next.
Please take your seats. The court of the honorable me is now in session.
Mm-hmm.
I understand we have counsel in the room, so let's get right to it. The first case.
Play along. Judge John Lopez, 713-572-4610. Sorry, Judge. Sorry, Your Honor.
It's all right. You will be forgiven this time. All right. So first case here has to do with NFL playing surfaces and whether they should be uniform or not. But let's let one George Kittle explain a little further.
This was the last game I've ever not played in. So it was my first experience on the turf, really. I'll say I think it's significantly better than it was in 2020 because it's all packed down and people have been playing on it. My only issue with it is, like, when someone's field is, like, the butt of a joke throughout all of social media constantly, like, on every NFL meme page, all that stuff, like, everybody jokes about how bad it is. I feel like at that point, you know, someone should just take a look at it and, you know, let's not make it a – no NFL field should be the butt of a joke ever. I feel like all the fields should be – have a level of safety to it. I just don't get, like, why there's not a standard for, hey, you got to pick between one or two turfs. There shouldn't be 12 different turfs and 12 different grass fields, and then a couple guys have the same things. I just think that's weird because most other sports, it's not like basketball players play on different hardwood. That's all the same. Soccer players in Europe all play on really nice grass. So it's just weird to me. But that's really way above my pay grade. I don't make the money to make those decisions, but I'd love to.
All right. So standardized fields in the NFL. Counsel Figgy?
Yes.
Which side are you going to be taking here?
Yeah, I'm actually going to represent George Kittle in this one.
So you would prefer, you're going to state the case for standardized fields?
Yes.
Continue.
Yes. So, Your Honor, I think he's absolutely right in this. The NFL always preaches safety of their players, and they do a lot of weird stuff where, you know, everything got to be a certain way. Mm-hmm. So there's not a lot of options. All the way down to the uniform, you got to wear your socks a certain way and all of this other stuff. I don't understand why they don't do this with the field. Mm-hmm. And look, in New York or New Jersey, technically, MetLife Stadium.
Yeah, that's what Kittle, just for the record, was talking about.
Yes, they have a bad history of injuries on that field. I don't understand why the NFL just won't step in and give every stadium some of the safest turf or the best turf for each for every team in the league. I just think they dropping the ball with this, and you're seeing a lot more energies or injuries in that field, on that field. So I'm 100% agreeing with him on this one.
Okay, Counsel Atitula.
I think that where George Kittle comes from is a good place. But I disagree with his assertion for a very important reason. The United States is big as hell, man. Like, we got to remember the latitude, where north or south you are on the globe, of the United States stretches really far. Like, if you hear from, like, British folks, they just don't understand how vast this nation is. Think about it. You got latitudes in the National Football League that are represented that are close to where, you know, Northern Europe, kind of European countries are, maybe like France, Germany, maybe.
Your Honor,
like
relevance, Your
okay,
Honor.
I'm gonna actually acknowledge that, but let him continue.
And then you have some places in the United States that the NFL is represented that have latitudes that are a lot like Nigeria and some places in Western Central Africa. Like, those are very different climates, and you need different grasses and different surfaces to be able to accommodate all those different climates. So it's going to be hard for you to separate this down just to a couple of choices.
Mm-hmm.
And all these things are, like, the NFL does monitor these things. Just sometimes you have different outcomes in the car crash sport. When it comes to the turf itself, there's just going to need to be some variation over the various different places and climates that the NFL plays in.
All right, so I'm going to do something that we don't normally do. I'm going to give both councils a chance to answer this question, because this is the first one that came to mind as I'm listening to Reggie. In terms of the different climates and the different turfs, I wanted you both to talk about, because I'm under the impression that the turfs can be imported into each stadium no matter the climate outside. So you talked about relevance. Go ahead, Figgy.
Yeah, Your Honor. I think it's the NFL. It's a billion-dollar company, a private company, and they could do whatever they want. They got a lot of people on the just getting paid to figure out what's best for these players. Mm-hmm. And so I just it's hard for me to believe that you got to have 12 different type of fields just to protect these players, man. I think you can find some of the best field around just to make it more safe for these players. It's hard for me to believe that MetLife Stadium, this is the best they could do.
And that's why I wanted you to answer it too, Reggie, because while you make a good point about the climates and the turfs and the grass and how things grow, et cetera, the NFL can bring in a natural field and an artificial field in every stadium, can't they?
When you say that, can you like clarify what you're asking?
A consistent
all the way across the league.
I don't think
you could probably do that for turf. I imagine. I don't think you could do that for natural grass. So maybe you can make that argument on the turf side. Mm-hmm. I think also one of the things that is worth considering, I don't know if it is the end all be all, is that there's a lot of different turfs and different companies. If you do limit this to this is the official supplier of NFL turf, mm-hmm. are you taking away the competition that actually leads to development in the turf space? That's a question that I ask. I don't have a good answer for it, but I think that these are all questions that complicate the idea that we're just going to simplify this down to one artificial, one natural grass, and these are the NFL standards.
All right, so here's where I'm going to rule. I do believe that the sort of offshoot topic that Reggie brought up is valid. But ultimately...
In your face, figure.
But ultimately...
Sorry, Your Honor.
The question is, should there or should there not be? Don't tell me how or what kinds of turfs, but should there be or not be? Like, as much as that's a good argument, the question is, should they have standardized turf or not? And so I'm going to say that the case for standardized test is going to win today. That's Figgy.
What is worth noting, though, is it is incumbent simply.
You had a hard argument.
Yeah,
you had a difficult argument,
and I will say sometimes you make arguments because your client is your client. I actually do think that this is fairly complicated. Yeah. I do think, however, where you get to is you got to hold individual owners accountable because it's the owners that get to decide how much they're willing to spend on this and which contractors they use. And you could tell just by the surfaces that some ownerships take this a little bit differently than others.
Yeah, I just think the turf shouldn't be the home field advantage.
You're
already getting it with the weather or depending on where you playing that. It shouldn't be, oh, they got this type of turf and all that stuff. I thought it was nasty work with the Oakland Raiders playing on a damn baseball field.
Well, that's back in the day.
Thought that was nasty.
Yeah, I kind of felt for you. I was like, that's a tough argument.
I should have made that argument. Man, they didn't complain back in the day when they was playing on dirt.
I mean, breaking up Nigeria. I'm like, huh?
Different climates, man. You got different grasses growing these different places. It's not as simple as just going, we're going to put Kentucky bluegrass all over.
The next case before us today. And I understand there's audio for this as well. A theory on exactly why D'Amico Ryans hired Nick Caley in the first place.
I am not saying this because I know. I'm saying this is my hypothesis.
Okay.
Because you could say it's speculation, but it's speculation derived from facts already in evidence.
Okay.
D'Amico hired his buddy to be the play caller originally in Bobby Slowick. Yeah. I had never been an OC.
Yeah.
Okay? Then when you fire Bobby Slowick, all the common sense says you go get an experienced offensive coordinator to come in here and run your offense so that D'Amico can run the defense like he wants to and get your now third-year quarterback to take that next step. Get your offense overall to take that next step so that you can go challenge for an AFC title game. But what did they do? They hired another guy who'd never been an OC and never been a play caller. And you have to ask yourself, why did this happen? And it really looks like the reason it happened is because D'Amico did not want an established coach that could potentially rival him on his staff.
Shout out to PC, Patrick Creighton of Area 45.
Good old-fashioned raw emotion and, I guess, ego, maybe, at some level. I'm going to let Reggie start this one.
I would like Figgy to go first, right, if you don't mind.
All right, Council Figgy.
Yeah, so I'm actually not going to take the side of Patrick Creighton on this one. I disagree with him on something. I do think he's kind of on the right track, but I feel like he kind of missed the stop a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I disagree with him saying D'Amico Ryans don't want anybody to rival him as a head coach, because I think D'Amico is very comfortable. I think he's very secure here when it comes to being a head coach. I don't think the Menares or Nick Caserio will somehow get him out of there and have him replaced by the offensive coordinator. I do feel like the Houston Texans did hire somebody in this, I don't want to say inexperienced, but somebody that never called plays, who never been an offensive coordinator, to kind of grow with C.J. Stroud. So it won't be one of those coordinators that leave after a year, get a head coaching job. So I think they kind of wanted somebody that can build potentially for the next 2 to 3 years until C.J. kind of get everything going, and then they can make a move to somebody else and not just a one and done thing.
All right, Council Attitulo, I'm guessing you figure there might be some truth to this.
I have to figure that there might be some truth to this. Before I get to that, though, I do want to speak to, I see our YouTube page. Again, appreciate the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers for that. There's some people that are like, why are people talking about D'Amico Ryans hired this? Now, I know the esteemed and honorable Judge John Lopez believes that there is a lot more influence from the general manager in that particular hiring, but we are not going to ignore that the typical order of things is that the general manager hires the head coach and the head coach hires his staff, offensive coordinator within that. So that I just wanted to make sure that that is clear on that is how this typically works, even if we want to talk about in the immediate. To speak to what Patrick Creighton proposed on Area 45, I believe that was last night, if I am correct. I do think there's some validity, because we have to also acknowledge D'Amico Ryans is very particular in the way that he runs this team. And it is not necessarily typical to the way that NFL teams are run. He has a very particular way of getting it. And I think that there is some you got to get on or get gone to his get down. And that's a little bit harder to make happen with somebody who has been a head coach that has their own particular way of doing things. And I do think that that would have to be a consideration, and that probably was some level of consideration. You're going to be hard-pressed for me to say that that's the only reason. Mm-hmm. But I think that if you pair that with the idea of getting an experienced head coach or experienced play caller that maybe has a head coaching experience, might have a little bit of that clash. And then also, like, they will have their very particular ideas of how to run this offense in a way that maybe D'Amico didn't fit into what D'Amico Ryans and probably Nick Caserio had as an idea for the best class to succeed. I think that all those things come together and they lead you to a first-time play caller.
Yeah, and I'm just going to inject this in here before I rule. I think there's a certain amount of mitigating factors here. I don't think it was one or the other. I don't think it was just his ego or wanting to be threatened, so to speak. I think there was a lot of mitigating factors, including the one that you pointed out. I think Nick Caserio had a lot to do with it. That said, you said one thing that I don't think is said often in courtrooms, but I think it resonates. Get on or get down, what'd you say?
I don't even remember.
Get in or get down.
I was in a flow state, baby. I was just talking, man.
I think that's ultimately what D'Amico wants. Someone who is going to be in line with what he says.
Oh, get on or get gone. That's what
Get on or get gone.
There it is.
And I think, that's not said a lot of times in court. But I think the whole get on or get gone is what D'Amico's about, and we're seeing it now.
Judge Lopez, you'd be surprised. how many times in a court get on a kick. In fact, I'm pretty sure that that is legal jurisprudence. I'm pretty sure that that is very much the jargon that is used.
So I will rule you.
You go. That's a little Judge Don Lopez here on a Wednesday in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us. Coming up next, before I get there, we got to get in this giveaway, Mammy. A $50 gift card to the Texas Star Grill Shops, and also the opportunity to be entered for a drawing to win a Traeger grill, I believe, and a case of OG sauce. You can do all of that simply by calling in and being caller number 9 right now, 713-572-4610. Caller number 9 wins that $50 gift card and the chance to be entered into that drawing. All right, coming up next, we are midway through this season. I think that we, by all accounts, 9 weeks, you're fully all the way past that midway point. So I kind of wanted to do some first half superlatives for this Texas team. Let's do that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.